WGN fan van. I want to go. I want to drive to Philly. I'm ready to get in a van. I saw some pictures from the floor of the convention, and Representative Sarah Feigenholz, who had pictures of Sarah Silverman on stage and Michelle Obama, and it looks like you're having a little bit of fun, Representative Feigenholz. I'm not going to lie to you.
You know, Patty, it's always great to be on your show. I couldn't believe you weren't going to be here in Philadelphia. I was so bummed out because you know, you're such a great reporter and you have your own style. And so in absentia, I thought I'd put on my best Patty Vasquez.
I am so thrilled. Well, I've seen several selfies that were very nice, as a matter of fact. And you had some great posts and pictures of, again, Sarah Silverman, very funny. But I have to say, she seemed to have still ticked off some of the Bernie supporters, which how present, how loud, how vocal are they being on the floor, the Bernie supporters?
Well, the Illinois delegation is stage right. On the floor, like very close to the steps. So it's Arkansas, and then we're kind of behind Arkansas to the left. And behind Illinois, kind of as you go up the grade, is the state of California. And the state of California seems to have a very loud contingent of, I don't necessarily want to call them Bernie supporters, but they're just really unhappy with the process. And so they were disruptive. It's a convention. This is what happens at conventions. But I think that, you know, this is that, you know, Hillary Clinton for a lot of people is going to be a destination. I am not one of those people. She was my first pick because I believe that she is the most qualified for the job. But I think that Bernie delivered a very loud and clear message at the end of this convention, the eve, the first night, that basically said, there's only one person who can be president of the United States, and we must elect Hillary Clinton. And that was the mic drop. That's this is the beginning. I mean, I think that, there is a stark difference between the two nominees, presumptive nominees. And I think that once the dust settles on Bernie, Bernie, who I feel has contributed enormously to the process, and he has pulled our party into, I mean, he, you know, fearless about talking about minimum wage, fearless about talking about college, you know, college for families who are earning less than $125,000. I mean, these are real problems in our country, and he had the courage to bring these issues up and to discuss them in the platform and to push the party a little bit to the left for the 99%.
Well, what do you say to people? Because, you know, a big reason why Bernie got so much support was, you know, distancing himself from, let's say, and accusing Hillary Clinton of being in the pocket of Wall Street, of wanting to have, you know, free higher education. A lot of things that, a lot of people were drawn to and said, yeah, we need a radical change. I mean, that's what's coming from the right as well. Something radical has to happen. We've heard a lot of that. You know, how much can we bring people in? How much can people be brought in from either the Republican side or the Democratic side if, you know, we're so far apart fundamentally when it comes to what's wrong with this country, right? Because if you listen to the Republicans, it's that we're vulnerable to immigrants, that we're vulnerable to ISIS, that we are, that the, you know, working class is already, the minimum wage is already too high and the state should have the right to lower that. It's not about the minimum wage. And when the left seems to be about, look, the top 1% owns more than half of the rest of the 90%. I don't even know I can't do the math on it. I was trying to track Bernie's numbers and it didn't seem to add up. But, you know, it seems like we are blaming, you know, one side blames the corporations and the other side blames immigrants and welfare system and things like that. And I've asked you a lot of questions. What is the sort of, how do we bring those two disparate groups at least somewhere close to the middle?
Well, I mean, I think that we have to listen.
Yes. Do you guys want to listen or no? You're already bored. Look at the people on Michigan Avenue. Like, we're so bored. We can't. Hold on. Representative Feigenholz, we have people on the street. Let me see where they are. Let's see. Are you going to vote in this election in the fall?
Possibly.
Wait, what do you mean? What's keeping you away from voting?
I was born in a different country, so I can't vote.
But are you, you're not a registered vote. Do you live here?
I do, but I'm not a citizen of these United States.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm going to vote. It's going to be a tough vote, yeah.
That's the same thing. I'll vote.
I'm not going to set aside my choice to vote. But
right. But you're disappointed in your choices.
Totally disappointed. Yeah.
What is the thing that's driving you away the most? Because people will say, and I'll help you out a little bit if you want. I don't mean to put any words in your mouth.
Totally.
Some people think that Trump is too strident and angry and hate-mongering, and that Hillary is a liar and can't be trusted.
Totally. I think...
Both, you believe all of those things of both.
I mean, I think those are strong words. It's hard for me to morally get behind one of those candidates, and it's hard for me policy-wise to get behind one of those candidates.
Okay. So, fair enough. Yeah. Representative Feigenholz, what do you say when people say that they can't get behind somebody, in particular Hillary Clinton, when they say that she has misled the American people when it comes to either her emails or Benghazi?
You know, I have to say that these are very, very complicated questions, Patty.
Sure.
And I think that the media has stoked the flames of and has done a great job, obviously, from the response that you got from one of your – are you really, like, out on the sidewalk? And
yeah, they're outside listening to the show. They're listening to your response right now. I know. Is that too –
I think it's a distraction that a lot of voters have – they've taken the bait on it. I think that people make mistakes with their emails all the time. You know, and I'm one of them. You know,
Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright have also said that they were doing the same things. And I always wondered if the FBI didn't push forward, because when you pull that thread, how far back do you go? How far back do you expose the vulnerabilities and the things that were being perpetrated in our Defense Department? That's just my own.
You know, Patty, the truth is that there are pollsters who are testing messages behind the scenes and behind the curtains. So they have 10 things that somebody says about Donald Trump or 10 things that somebody says about Hillary Clinton, and it moves the needle. And if it moves the needle, it's out in the media, it's pumped out there, it's manufactured. I mean, sadly, I think that the public is just overdosing on a lot of this.
Would you say, I think overdosing is a good way to put it, with all the onslaught.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, and it is just feeding, you know. I didn't know this, but, you know, people are hung up on email, you know,
right.
WikiLeaks, you know, all of this. And I'm going to be really careful and never send another email. So only text me, okay?
And Snapchat. Let's just totally do everything through Snapchat. See?
I'm done. I'm never opening my computer again. So, but my point is to you is that, you know, I hope that in the next 100 days that this will settle down a little bit. It won't be so noisy. It won't sound like a lot of clatter, and that people will be able to evaluate with whom their values align. Because that's how I grew up.
Right, where your values align. Well, and let's talk about that a little bit, because for me, a lot of it comes down to, you know, I think it was discussed a lot tonight, you know, even to the woman who spoke, Anastasia, I can't pronounce her last name, but she was astounding.
Yes.
My family was openly weeping. If you did not catch one of the speeches tonight at the DNC, and perhaps it's not your cup of tea to watch that, whether for politics or just not interested in the way, you know, our candidates are introduced and all the speechifying that's going to go on all week. But this speech was, because I am the mother of a child who has special needs, this young woman met Hillary Clinton when she was only 9 years old, when Hillary was having meetings and having discussions and town hall meetings about early intervention and special needs services. And my whole family, my husband and Steve, my husband and Griffin, my older son Griffin, we were all on the couch and we were weeping because this young woman has cerebral palsy. She was also diagnosed with a form of a paralyzing disorder that renders her unable to walk. She's in a wheelchair. And they played first the video of Donald Trump mocking this reporter who has special needs. And if you haven't seen it, I'm not going to do an impression of Donald Trump doing an impression of someone with a disability. But as the mother of a child with a disability, that was enough. That was the end for me. And anybody who sees past that and that everything else is okay. I've said this time and time again. But that speech from Anastasia was wonderful. Anastasia Somoza, what was the feeling like on the floor when she spoke?
Well, I got really angry when I saw that film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, I mean, you know me pretty well, Patty. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around people who, I'm trying to get into a place where I can understand who would, you know, actually be excited about his candidacy. And I'm not.
But I don't think people are excited about his candidacy. I mean, there are some, and obviously even some of the interviews of people at the RNC, like they were, you know, on Colbert saying that he was basically like their seventh choice. But do you think that they're excited because that anything but Hillary seems to be, for a lot of people, the case?
Yeah, I don't know. And, I am still a student studying the public.
And how long have you been in office? You've been serving the state of Illinois since?
I've been serving the state of Illinois since 1995. So, but this is an extraordinary time. I have to say, I've never quite, you know, this is very different. This is a very different time. I think people feel very disenfranchised. I think that the media has just been, you know, so much information coming out with social media. We are barraged as Americans with information, and we don't even know truth from fiction.
Absolutely. Do you have time later this week? And I may actually steal the WGN fan van and drive to Philly. I'm kind of thinking I'm going to get an air mattress, and I don't know where I can park. I don't know if there's any place. Can I use your shower in your hotel if I do drive there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Text me in.
I'm not even kidding.
If you get in the fan van, let me know. Just text me.
I will text you.
This is just an amazing experience, and it'd be great if you could have a little taste.
I don't know why we didn't think about it till today. It's so funny. All right, Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, you can follow her on Twitter. How do we follow you on Twitter?
I don't even know what that means.
You're on Facebook.
At StateRepSarah.com. At StateRepSarah.
At StateRepSarah on Twitter, and we will talk to you again later this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great time and be safe. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I'm joined by Todd Belcour, who is an adjunct professor of law at the University of Chicago and executive director of Social Change.
That's right.
And we have on the line with us also a listener who wanted to join the conversation before we bring Representative Robert Martwick on the air, who also is at the DNC. Dave, we were talking a little bit about why people are making their choices in this election season. What did you want to tell us, Dave? Oh, sorry. Hi, Dave. Yes.
Hi. Donald is a bully and Hillary is boring. But I'm going to vote for Hillary personally because she's in line to pick some, three Supreme Court judges. And I don't want conservative judges there. But I can't help but, when Trump goes, I'm going to make companies that take business out of our country and settle into other countries. I'm going to make them pay. I mean, who has ever said that before? I find that, very inspiring. And he says, I'm going to tear up trade deals with China. I mean, that's what it's going to take to change our economy around. And I think that's what appeals to people.
Right. I mean, it sounds like he's right. It's almost like
revolutionary.
It's almost like vengeance. It sounds like he's like the revenge candidate.
Well,
like, right?
I think somebody has to do that. I wish it was someone from the Democratic Party who would take that position. But something needs to be done drastically about this economy and our country. Something drastic has to change, and the only, under Hillary, nothing's going to change. It's going to be same old, same old.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
Hold on.
Let's see what my guests have to say. We have have Representative Martwick on the line, and we also have Todd Belcour. What do you say when you hear that, Representative Martwick?
What he's talking about, many of these ideas are already stolen. I mean, these are things that Hillary has talked about throughout her campaign. And one of those things, in fact, Senator Sanders, as he spoke on the floor today, talked about exactly that he and Hillary together worked on a platform that includes things like punishing companies that take their businesses overseas and rewarding those that stay and provide jobs for American workers.
We also So that's something that she has mentioned, because there was an air conditioning company in Indiana, I think, is the most recent example we can think of as sending jobs to Mexico, and people, and especially because we look at Indiana as like, let's do things like Indiana. Okay, whatever's going on there is also driving businesses to Mexico.
Right. I mean, you're not. That's like the big fallacy, is that we're competing amongst states, and we're really not. There are some little interstate competition, but once a company has decided to go for the ultra low wages of a developing economy, then the competition is not really real at that point. We're not really competing with them. They take the risk to go down there. They don't know what the laws are going to be like. They don't know what the crime's going to be like. They don't know what the enforcement's going to be like. But they say, we'll take the gamble because the wages are so low. But, like you said, Illinois has a lot to offer in terms of what we provide in Illinois and what our country provides. And I think a lot of companies are choosing to stay here. It's just a matter of finding that balance.
Our listener also mentioned that Hillary is boring. And I know, Todd Belcour, you were not necessarily on the Hillary. You're not actually on the Hillary wagon, but given the choices. Tell us a little bit about the post. The reason you're here is because Esmeralda reposted your post about your feelings in regards to having been a Bernie supporter and the situation we find ourselves in now with the choices between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
Yes, and good evening, everyone. Much to
you're
what
so,
Dave
you're
is
so proper. Good evening. Good evening, Todd.
Much to what Dave is saying.
Hi, Todd.
How are you doing, Representative? It's good to hear your voice also.
Good.
Hope you're enjoying your time in Philly. A lot of people have reached out to me about whether I'm voting for Hillary or not, and I'm speaking as an individual citizen, not as a representative of an organization at this point. And I don't like Hillary, and I haven't been a fan of her for a while, but I do love the country. So given that, it is really important that I consider the candidates, and I really feel like I literally have no choice but to vote for her, given the possibilities is of a Trump presidency. I mean, he doesn't have the temperament. He doesn't have any interest in uniting the country. And, when you talk about having someone with those sorts of traits, being the person who's going to be tasked with protecting our country and having nuclear codes, it becomes very scary. So it's not just a vote based on party, but based on communities. But, the real-life implications of having a president who's not concerned about strengthening the middle class and isn't concerned about making sure that we honor our agreements with our allies internationally in terms of protecting each one another. Those things are absolutely devastating things that can have a deleterious effect we can never recover from. It's not just a negative financial impact of a Bush presidency. We're talking about a nuclear war that could be at stake. And when you start to consider those things, as frustrating as it may be to have, the Dem Party having issues with the leaks and the RNC having... Yeah, right.
Well, I don't even know how to begin to explain that to people. What has that been like, Representative Martwick, as far as the WikiLeaks, the DNC having to... I don't know if they forced Debbie Wasserman Schultz out or if that was a culmination of all the pressure and fallout from that. What has it been like there today?
It's been... it really hasn't been the issue that you might think it would be, I think, because it was handled so swiftly and promptly. I don't know if she was forced out or she resigned, but having Donna Brazile step in is probably,
I don't think it's better than that.
You're going to go to the bench, not a bad move, right?
No.
So I think people are pretty happy, and they're not focused on that. They're focused on what's going on the floor. And today was, what a tremendous series of speakers today delivering a coherent message about the difference between what Donald Trump offers in terms of people with disability and people with addiction problems and immigration issues and the middle class and how you treat people that you do business with and what does it mean to be successful and what does it mean to be a public servant and what does it mean to unite as opposed to divide. And I think that, speaker after speaker, whether it was Michelle Obama or Elizabeth Warren or Cory Booker, who just brought down the House. I mean, we had a really great day at the convention, and I thought a really good message. And, one last thing, Todd, I like what you had to say about the choices. Not everyone always likes everything about the candidate that they are choiced with making a decision over. But here's the thing, I've said this often on Patty's show, democracy, the gift of democracy is that you get to choose your own government. The price is that you have to live with your bad choices. And, I think that
Sorry, I'm in a
I was going to say, where are you?
That sounds like a hell of a reception you're at there, Representative.
I know. It's Lou Lane's got a reception, and I closed the doors, but somebody decided they needed to be opened back up again. There we go.
That sounds about right. Illinois delegation represent.
That's right.
Yeah, someone, a lobbyist was making a lot of noise there. You know, and so you get to the beauty is that you get to choose your own government. But the price is that you have to live with your bad decisions. And what I would suggest is that sitting it out is the worst decision of all.
Okay. I think so.
Yep.
I think that's a great point to make. I'm going to let you get back to that reception. I want you to have a good time, and let's check in with you again later this week.
Fantastic. Thanks. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. It's Representative Robert Martwick, and that's from the Fight in 19th. The Jefferson Park, Norwood Park, Harwood Heights area. We just found out that Fishman's is opening again in Portage Park. That's not really important to the national election, but still, it's important to folks like me.
I appreciate you.
And Representative Martwick. I want to talk to you when we come back, Todd, about the speeches and what your reaction was. Again, I think tonight one of the big stories is trying, because today's theme at the DNC was unity.
Yes.
And as a Bernie supporter and somebody who was watching probably the Bernie Sanders speech, wanting to hear what was he going to impart on his followers? What urgency was he going to ask of them when it comes to voting for the Democrats? And and also to compare with the first day of the RNC last week, because there was a certain amount of chaos.
There's
today.
Discord on both sides.
Yeah, I think that there was chaos last week. There was chaos today. And then there was chaos right here. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Oh, my God. If I left, I could get a... Wait, the flights to Philly are not that bad. I could go tomorrow at 2 p.m. and get there by 5 o'clock, and it would cost
How
me
much?
About $200 round trip.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's not even using my
sure
miles.
That's round trip?
Hold on a second. Let me check. If I left at like 9 o'clock tomorrow night, I wouldn't get there till midnight, and I'd miss everything.
No, you miss all the fun.
No, so if I left, let's see. Hold on. You go ahead and talk. No,
we'll get
just take over the show, Todd.
Well, I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to really take a moment and hear some of the speeches that were given today at the DNC, but... there are a few things that are worth remarking on. One, every time Hillary Clinton's name was mentioned, there was audible booing. And the other is...
Why? I mean, Bernie supporters, but
yes, okay. I imagine, or you know, other people who are infiltrating, however you want to think of where it may come from. But the bottom line was, every person who spoke did a wonderful job of contrasting the candidates. And I think as it relates to the pain of kind of overcoming this Dem leaks and all this sort of stuff, when you really get down to the difference between the candidates, the difference is so stark. If it had been a Kasich or something like that, it wouldn't have been as stark. And I could see how a lot more people may gravitate to the Republican ticket. But when you have someone like Trump who's so bombastic and so confident in his ignorance, it becomes really dangerous. And I think between Cory Booker and the way he actually brought a really charismatic speech, Michelle with a very touching, sincere speech.
When they go
Bernie,
low, we go high.
That's right.
Do you know, no. You haven't already locked that in?
No, I didn't know what that was.
When they go low,
we go high.
We go high.
Help me understand what that means.
So they take the low road, we take the high road.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with that. This is politics.
No, it was a shorthand that she used, but...
Oh, well, I think...
it was catchy.
She said that, but she's elegant and fancy, but Hillary Clinton is not that kind of lady. She likes to be right there fighting right in the midst with everyone.
She gets on the low road, she takes the low road?
Not the low road, she's just not going back down from a fight.
No, that's true. And can I ask you a question? This is completely separate from the content of their speeches. Why do they all got to yell? Why? I mean, do they not have any confidence in the ability of the sound system? I mean, that was something I realized today, and I think one of the most memorable things about Barack Obama's speech when he spoke it was at John it was Kerry's right John
yeah.
Kerry's convention. He was very temperate. It was a very measured. But everyone's screaming. I mean, Michelle did not scream,
right.
But you mentioned Cory.
Cory Booker.
I have a friend named Cory Baker, and that's why I pause every single time and I feel bad.
They're both wonderful human
beings.
Yeah,
absolutely. But there's like a yelling, and Hillary does this, and obviously Donald Trump does this. I mean, Melania did not. The yelling thing is very strange, and it's something that people lock into, and the style, unfortunately, sometimes overcomes the content.
Yeah.
But this is something I was noticing. If you are ever in a situation with a politician, tell them to trust the equipment.
Are they also just loud talkers?
Well, I think that's part of it, but also they're just excited. I mean, this is their opportunity to really get people enthused, and
Take
they think one way to do it is just bring your energy all the way through the mic. And whether you use an inflection and kind of playing the audience and working the crowd up the way President Obama may do. Some people just say, let's get crowded, this is excited, everyone, let's go, go. It's like, wait, hold on, why is he yelling?
You're right. I mean, it's like telling someone they talk too fast. This is a good point, Esmeralda. I probably should remember these things. I get very excited and I talk too fast.
Yes. When you go low, I go high.
Yeah, that works too. Did you see Paul Simon sing?
No, I did not see him sing.
And how about it? It was nice. It was. It was funny. I was sitting there and I realized, oh, Garfunkel sang this part. So I did. Look, come on, everybody, a little
bit. This doesn't even sound right now. Who is this?
This is not his part of the song. But Al Franken and Sarah Silverman lending their comedic talents to the event. I'm not always a big fan of Sarah Silverman's. I thought it was fine. People seem to be offended by her telling Bernie fans that they're ridiculous. What did you think of that?
I think the Democratic Party should be very careful in terms of how flippant they are towards the Bernie Sanders supporters. So I think between, you know, you believe that something's rigged and you see evidence of it being rigged and then you just kind of laugh it off and expect people to just walk through it. I mean, there needs to be a formal apology. There needs to be some opportunity.
Sarah?
No, not from Sarah.
I'm just wondering. She was a very ardent Bernie supporter.
Absolutely.
I mean,
But I think what she's not appreciating the way that some people invested their heart and souls into the movement that he helped create.
Right.
So to just expect people to turn around and just jump on another bandwagon for someone they basically have disdain for over a period of a couple of days, fresh off the news that they were never giving Bernie a real chance to have to get the American people's hearts and ears.
Right.
I think that's a lot to ask. So I think unless they start making real palpable gestures to say, hey, yes, let's fix this party. There's a lot of issues. Help us fix it versus just get over it and vote for her. You may mess around and have Jill Stein and get, 9% of the vote, and then Trump win the 43% of the vote.
In a little bit, too. I don't know how long you can stay because I know you're traveling tomorrow. But she didn't just say, she said, I felt the burn, too, but I put some ointment on it. More after this on 720 WGN.